Blog Talk Radio.
I was walking downtown one day, and I saw a man who appeared to be just an old wino sitting on the street telling the people about Jesus as they passed by. And because he was all raggedy and dirty, people would just laugh and make fun of the old man and walk on by. And he said, because of the way I am, no money, no fancy clothes, fine homes and cars, a lot of people consider me as nothing and say I don't know what I'm talking about. But there's one thing that he said that really touched my heart and stayed on my mind. When that old man looked up and said, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. He said, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. And he said, I've had so many problems in my life that I just couldn't deal with. So I started drinking, thought it would help ease my pain. But things got worse, so I said, Lord, I give up. I'm in your hands. And that's when my life began to change. But these people think I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save.
Praise God, praise God. The word tells us in Proverbs 20:22, my son, attend to my words, incline thy ears unto thy saying. Let them not depart from thy eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart, for they are life unto those who find them, and flesh to all thy flesh, and health to all thy flesh. Good evening. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I'm your host, Brother David, and I'd like to welcome you to the Spirit of a Soldier, where we come to share the knowledge and wisdom of God's Word. Today. Today is a day of rejoicing. Today is a day of celebrating. Why? Because it's the best day of our life, because God gave it to us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just glorify and magnify your name for your love, your mercy, and your grace, to give us your breath and your strength today, helping us, Father God, to move in a direction closer to you. Father God, we thank you that you continue to show us every day that your mercy and your grace and your forgiveness is with us because you give us that breath. And Father God, as you give us that breath, let us not take advantage of it, but use it wisely, Father God, for the glory of you. We praise you, we honor you, we glorify your name, we magnify your name, we say hallelujah to your name, for you are worthy to be praised. Every moment you give us, God, is precious. We should not take it for granted. Father God, you've been so kind and so good to us through the years. Father God, all we can say is hallelujah and thank you. Father God, as I begin to deliver your word today, Father God, through the Holy Spirit, I ask you that I decrease and that you increase, Father God. You increase in such a way, Father God, that that dunamis power that comes from your word, that Jesus will say it is written, Father God, to the deceiver himself, Father God, that he would flee from him. Father God, let these words have that same impact. We ask you, Father God, for those under the sound of my voice. Father God, bless them in a mighty way. Bless them coming in. Bless them going out. Bless them, Father God, in the cities and in the field. Bless them in their homes. Bless them in their bodies. Bless them in their finances. Bless them in their relationships. Bless them in ways, Father God, that all they can do is stand up and give glory and honor to you. Bless them, Father God. For we know the things that are happening in the world, Father God, but we can't be moved by that. We can only be moved by the power of your love in our lives. Because your love is greater, and it covers a multitude of sins. But we see that man is falling in many ways, but Jesus rises every day. So we thank you, Father God. But we will say unto any mountain, Father God, that comes before us and is not, Father God, for the blessing of us, Father God, we thank you, Father God, that we will remove it into the sea and remember it no more. For we will walk by faith to have that full assurance in the heavens. And, Father God, we will not lose confidence in the rewards that it gives from your word. For we will remember the blessings you told David, Father God, that you will forgive us of our iniquities. Father God, redeem us from our destruction. And Father God, you would heal our diseases. And you will satisfy our mouth with good things so that our youth is renewed like the eagle. Thank you, Father God. You said that you would show us your salvation and give us long life so we could declare the works of your word. Thank you, Father God. So help us all, Father God, to continue to move closer to you spiritually that we may grow and mature because all you intended us to be and more. Father God, for the glory of you. And let us never, 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 never be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Let us stand before anyone, kings, presidents, doesn't matter, and let them know, Father God, about you. Father God, we want to be so close to you, Father God, that when we move, Father God, we feel the power of the Spirit every step we take. So, Father, as I get ready to go forward, Father God, guide me, direct me. Again, let me decrease, let the Holy Spirit increase, that I may speak with accuracy and proficiency, Father God, of the power of your word. For it's the power of your word that gives us life and gives us life more abundantly. I thank you. I praise you for hearing this prayer. I thank you, Father God, for listening to this prayer. And I thank you, Father God, for answering this prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, glory be to God. This is a beautiful day. We are moving along in God's word, and we're maturing every day of our lives as we move forward into God's power. The quote for the day is, every success story is a tale of constant adaptation, revision, and change. Richard Branson. The great solution to all human problems is an individual's inner transformation. Vernon Howard. And transformation is a process. And as life happens, there are tons of ups and downs. It's a journey of discovery. Rick Warren. And the scripture would tell us, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. And Psalms 4:20 says, he also brought me up out of the horrible pit, out of the mere clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. And Ephesians 1:3 say, blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. That's worth celebrating in itself. So I want to tell you a story that's a story that pretty much begins around the country. But I like it because it gives us a different perspective on how we deal with life. So once upon a time, there was a psychology professor who walked around on the stage while teaching stress management principles to the auditorium filled with students. And as she raised a glass of water, everyone expected she would present the typical glass half empty, half full question. Ha-ha. Instead, with a smile on her face, the professor asked, how heavy is this glass of water I'm holding? The students shouted out answers ranging from 8 ounces to a couple of pounds. She replied, from my perspective, the absolute weight of this glass doesn't matter. It all depends on how long you hold it. If you hold it for a minute or two, it feels very light. If you hold it for an hour straight, it might make my arm ache a little. And if you hold it for a day straight, my arms will likely cramp up and feel completely numb and paralyzed, forcing me to drop the glass to the floor. In each case, the weight of the glass doesn't change. But the longer you hold it, the heavier it feels. As the class shook their head in agreement, she continued, your stresses and worries in life are very much like the glass of water. Think about them for a while and nothing happens. Think about them for a bit longer, you begin to ache a little. Think about them all day long and you will feel completely numb and paralyzed, incapable of doing anything else until you drop them. You see, the moral of the story is life stresses can weigh you down if you hold them too long. The more you hold it, the heavier they get, emotionally, psychologically, and spiritually. Thus, hand your jar of life stresses over to God. for nothing is too heavy for him to hold. So put those life stresses down. Turn that upside frown into a smile of joy, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. So we're moving into part three of our series of embracing our new creation. And as I told you, I like to recap, because some will not go to the archives and some will not be able to get it all at once. But the more the word to faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God, the more you hear it, the more you should be able to get the picture of what the Spirit has given me to give to you. So we're into the 10th day of the 2021st of the year. 10 miles down the road from 2020, we should be celebrating the 10th day of God's blessing of life with praise and thanksgiving. Yet we can see we are still holding on to the old negative remnants from 2020 that it brought forth. Many losses of family, friends, and jobs and businesses. Racial uproar within the political arena and the pandemic. And we saw this last Wednesday how people are so angry, so upset. We know that they're not walking in love. They have established themselves in the God type of love that would benefit us so we don't have to have those kind of uproars. But it's still happening. Yet again, Jesus reminds us in John 16:33, when Jesus said, I told you these things, you may have peace. In this world you will have troubles, but take heart. I have come to overcome the world. That's very difficult when you see that the world is out of control. But it's all good. You see, because in Psalms 46:1, it tells us that God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in trouble. There I stand here today with a strong conviction that Jesus is the solution to our New Year resolution. You see, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore anyone is Christ, he is a new creation, old things are passed away, and behold, all things come new. Therefore, being a new creation in Christ is a transformational change that will impact us forever spiritually, psychologically, emotionally, and physically, as it did Paul on the road to Damascus, which transformed him from being a babe in Christ to a level of spiritual maturity that will change his life and others forever. And as Paul, we too must embrace our new creation with expectation and understanding of God's salvation for our new life in him, in order that we become men and women of God by putting off those childish ways. What we saw last week was childish ways. Me, 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 me. See, love tells us that love is not self-seeking. You see, it's not self-seeking. But those behaviors show that they were seeking something for their own self-gratification. They were out of the will of love. But as we move forward, 1 Corinthians 13:11, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man or a woman, I put away childish ways. I shared that one of my primary assignments was, and still is, to move us from the milk, what children get, to the meat, what adults can handle, in order that we strengthen our weaker areas of our new spiritual body to become stronger through the foundational principles of God's word, which will give us a visual, comprehensible, and applicable approach towards our spiritual growth. This is all validated by God's word in 2 Timothy 3:16-17. Significant. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, correction, for instruction in righteousness, that a man of God may be perfect, mature, thoroughly equipped in all good works. So we're about doing the good works, but we need to be equipped and we need to be mature. So it's important that we look at these things. And I talked about a great deal of things in 2020. Despite all the things that were happening, we still could have been maturing, because I talked about things such as developing oneself in Christ, developing authentic relationship with self, God, and others by being transformed by the renewing of our mind, our heart, and spirit. Well, we began to be those who would be iron sharpening iron, helping our brothers out. Being there for our brothers, not fighting with our brothers, not arguing with our brothers, not dissing our brothers, not disrespecting our brothers, but helping our brothers out. That we can help others on their journey as they move to the various levels of spiritual maturity in order that they can embrace creation in Christ. See, in Jeremiah 29:13, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Everything deals with the heart. But you have to seek God's word. For you see in 1 Corinthians 20:19, it says, but as it is written, I love that, it is written, Eyes have not seen, nor ears heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that loved him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, from the Spirit, searching all things, yea, the deep things of God. That's what we're talking about, people. We're talking about getting to the deep things of God. As I said last week, my pastor hit it for grown folks. It's time to grow up. It's time to grow up. But as I move forward through the process, I talked about the natural lifespan development process, which which was the prenatal development, infancy, toddlerhood, early childhood, middle adult childhood, adolescent, early adulthood, middle adulthood, and late adulthood, as a comparison to the spiritual development as we mature in Christ, in order that we get a visual aspect of the lifespan development in the spirit. Yes, I said lifespan, because it will take a lifetime for us to truly grow into who God intended us to be. For this walk is not a sprint, but a marathon that requires that we train, to be able to stay in the race. Again, you want to be equipped. No marathon runner goes out and runs 26 miles the same day he signed up or she signed up. Oh, they got to train. They got to train. They got to go through some pain, and they got to train, and they got to go through some pain. But when the day of reckoning comes and they begin to start at the starting line, their objective is to cross the finish line. For the race is not given to the swift or to the strong, but him that endureth to the end. See, 2 Timothy tells us also in 4:7, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. See, you can't stay in a race unless you got the faith. You can't even go to God unless you got the faith. And you got to fight the good fight. You can't get into the ring and soon somebody throw a blow, you're ready to get out and go. Oh, no, you got to finish the race. See, in Hebrews 10:36, it says, for you have need of endurance. You got to stick and stay. You got to have that resiliency so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. See, we want God's promises, but we don't want to do the work. We don't want to put in the time. We don't put sacrifice. See, Christ sacrificed his life. He gave it all. He put in the time. He put in the work. He put in the training all the way back from earlier years because he understood what the promise was. And you know the funny thing about it? He already had the promise. He came here so we could receive the promise. Hello. It's training time, people. I suggested that some of the key aspects to consider through the lifespan development process start with the prenatal development phase, which is in relation to people standing in the gap, praying for the lost, believing and hoping that they will become born again as we did. And as those who were praying for us, those old-time praying warriors who were on their knees and who had aches and pains because they went through the pain because they wanted us to change. Oh, yeah. Then I went into the infancy stage. This is what helps us to get rid of the old man that was governing our mind, will, and emotion, that's known as the soul, so that we don't spread that old mess all over the place. Then we talked about the toddler stage, where we begin to develop areas of the intellectual, emotional, and relational entities, which will allow us to exchange knowledge of God's word. But we need to manage this because sometimes in that eagerness, we could cause more harm than good. Many people have come to the church and they had got a little knowledge. And as you say, in the old days, a little knowledge can be dangerous. They got a little knowledge. They pulled some people in and they guided them in the wrong direction and they never came back. That sheep got away. Oh, we're supposed to feed the sheep. But that sheep got away because we wasn't ready to do that. Jumping over a few of the levels of development, I brought it to perspective. The early adulthood that seems to be where the real change of our spiritual growth takes place. Here's where we may see the giving in and the giving out, especially when life presents a few tests that many people don't want to go through. And where life is like a child to the parent, we get away with a few things because we're young. Our life challenge and our sin nature causes us to feel this sense of skating or getting by. But when the storm comes during the journey, it becomes harder and harder to embrace and maintain that new creation. Those backslide. Why? Because we begin to take charge, step up, standing up for our independence as we go up against our parents' guidance. In this case, as I mentioned, this will be God. We'll begin to think that we can take responsibility for our lives and make our own decisions. And like the prodigal son, as B.B. King was saying in the song, you made your move too soon. causing us to learn the hard way. This can be a problem because when we begin to meet life, begin to meet this level of maturity without the solid foundation of wisdom to put before us, we have enough to share but not enough to repair. Not just repair those that we cause to be lost, but can't even repair ourselves. So then we start talking, oh, the Bible's too hard. Oh, the Bible's confusing. Oh, you know, God, yeah, he all right. You know, what was he at when this? And what was he at when that? And when my daughter died? And when my brother passed? Or when I lost my job, where was God? See, that's when your seed fell on the rocks. It didn't get into the soil to take root. And we've seen this when we talked about Peter's life, because we know Peter had a transformation himself when Jesus come along. And he came there on the shore, and he got into the boat with Peter, and he told them to throw the net to the other side. And when they thought that they had it going on, they said, how this man going to tell who's a carpenter, going to tell us how we should take care of business? But when they threw it on that side, they had so many fish, it broke the net. Thus, basically like the newborn who is just developing on the outside, Peter looked all grown, but he still was not grown. Grown up, but he still was not grown. Who looked like everything, if you could read, he looked like he had it together. But yet, these flaws ranged from him being uncouth, which we all can be. For you see, as Peter embraced his newness in Christ, becoming born again like him, we may not have realized that it was work when it comes down to following Christ. Oh, it's work. See, that's the easy part, getting saved. The work begins when you want to, and you're going to be saved, but when you want to really mature and change that soul, that mind, will, and emotion that lines up with God's word. For like Peter, some of us are in the toddler stage. We will be with Jesus sometime, part-time, maybe not any time, for to do our assignment. We don't have that full-time commitment because, again, we get complacent. This causes us to speak in the name of Christ when we shouldn't, sleep when we should be awake, and be quick-tempered when we should let peace be still. Hallelujah. But as Peter, when the miracle of the Lord manifests in life, we seem to respond immediately to Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. Yes, we all got some growing to do to embrace this new creation. And just like Simon Peter, we would tell Jesus we would never let him wash our feet. For we got this thing called life. I'm a man, I'm a woman, I'm all power is in my hand. Yet when the moment like a child to his parent present itself and be overwhelming and we begin to fall, we all turn to Jesus and say, wash us all over. Wash us all over, Jesus, because I don't got this. And there's that time when we'll come where we will find ourselves in various situations where we're standing among friends that we really like. We got a woman that we really like or a man we really like. And we don't want to cross the line because we want to keep them in our lives. But in that hour, this is where we declared our oath that we would never leave Jesus. We would die for Jesus. But then when that moment comes, we deny him in every way. Oh, yeah, I go be with you. Oh, yeah, I do this. Oh, I hang here. And for you know it, pride before the fall seems to manifest itself. However, how great it is that our Lord sees us for who we are to become, not where we are in this moment. Thus, the illustration of Peter's spiritual transformation toward his maturity takes place in Mark 16, 6 and 7, and where the angels by the name single Simon Peter out, where Peter realized that the master still loved him. See, that's the beautiful part of this whole walk. Even when we fall, even when we mess up, even when we talk too much, we don't talk enough, we don't stand up, we hide like Adam and Eve hide behind the tree in shame, he still loves him. And when he realized that Christ had risen, and when Christ confronted Peter privately, Peter blurted out in full confession, just like Adam, all his shame and many denials. But for those backsliders, we can take hope because restoration is there. Here's what Jesus asked for, the threefold affirmation of Peter, love, centering on his three denials. When he Hallelujah. I think I'm back in. I hope I am. Well, we go right from where we left off. There's a technical difficulty. As I mentioned earlier, we want to gain the visual of what our new creation would look like from a spiritual development perspective, where as we move through our developmental process for improving and maturing in each of these areas, because each part of our spiritual anatomy is vital. You see, in 1 Corinthians 12:16, it tells us that if the ear should say, because I am not the eyes, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being the part of the body. For it is our mind, eyes, ears, heart, mouth, spirit, hands, feet, for which we will use wisely to develop in our attributes, our abilities, our self-image, that creates a new longing, a new sense of pride, a new fulfillment, a new assurance, which we embrace in this new creation with passion as we begin to change. This will be done through the verification of God's word that would allow us to cultivate our spirit as men and women of God, who now is putting those childish ways to the side in order to become the spiritual warriors in God's army inside. We examine what this new creation looked like. First, that we are spirit, and that we must address it from the spirit and not the body. But because we are born in the spirit, housed in a body with the soul, which is the mind, will, and emotion. I can confirm this through John 4:23-24. He says that the honor comes and now is, which the true worshipers shall worship the Father in the spirit and in truth. For the Father seeking such to worship him, God is a spirit that worships him, must worship him in spirit and in truth. This shows us that we must not place so much value on what our outward presentation must look like, but more so the inward development, which allows the Holy Spirit to give us the true meaning of worship and growth. Now, we begin to look at ourselves from a different perspective, where we can use our imagination and visualization to look at the different kinds of bodies, the different kind of body, if you will, a spiritual body that lives in the physical body that will do the will and work of God. As we move forward, we can see that the head, which houses the mind, ears, and eyes, is said that the ears are the floodgate to the mind, and the eyes are the windows to the soul. Looking at these three sections from a new creation perspective, I stated that the mind is what we use to process thoughts and imagination that govern our behavior. See, everything starts with a thought, and it ignites these feelings and creates these imaginations. And if we're not careful, the wrong thoughts and imaginations can redirect our thought pattern into a direction that God don't want us to go. This is why 2 Corinthians 10:5 tells us that we have to cast down imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Ears are exposed to negativities of the world. We must get what they call selective hearing, as the words say, incline thy ears to thy saying, which for us is to listen to the Holy Spirit. We have to be careful what we let come into our ears. Because, again, sometimes in the case, the ears will hear more before we see. And Scripture tells us in 8:47, he that is of God hear God's word. And 1 John 4:6 says, we are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. Let me back up here. So you first he says, faith comes by hearing the word of God. And then the word tells us about we quit to listen. And then it tells us here that we must listen. But if you're not from God, you ain't listening. You're not taking an active part in understanding God's word. But you see, in John 10:27, it tells us, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. And because we, in most cases, hear first, as I said, it's essential that we make sure we govern what we audibly hear in order that when the eyes engage, we can have the ability to discern and understand when the Holy Spirit is trying to illuminate to us what we need to know and do. 1 Corinthians 2:12 tells us, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Again, let me go back over here. But we are given the spirit of God. not the spirit of the world. So it is, as he said, create in me a clean heart and renew the right spirit in me. So when we receive God, we receive the right spirit. For you see in 1 Corinthians 2:14, it says, but the natural, not born again man receives not the things of the spirit of God, for they are foolish unto him. It was foolish unto us at one time. Neither can he know them because they are not spiritually discerned. We couldn't understand this. This here, listen to me talk for about an hour, other people talk for an hour, whatever time frame they're speaking on. You couldn't get to that. Oh, you'd rather spend that hour watching the game. You'd rather spend that hour watching Power, Empire. You'd rather spend that hour watching soap operas. You'd rather spend that hour getting high. You'd rather spend that hour hanging out. You'd rather spend that hour doing something. But all of a sudden, with this new spirit, now, you want to engage in God's word. See, now the ears and eyes are powerful, but that next part of the body, man, we, as I said before, we got to take a minute because we have to get in depth with this, because this is this part here. It holds the power of life and death. Oh, yeah, I'm going back over these things because, again, it's these areas right here that's so essential. See, we can't take God's word and take it in a superficial way. Too long have we been doing that. I've been guilty of it. Oh, yeah, I know the scripture. Let me quote it out. But I want us to get the dunamis power. I want us to get that impact power. I want us to get that transformation power. I want to get that life-changing power that turns us away from the old man to the new. So in James 3:3-5, the scripture of the tongue tells us, when we put a bitter, when we put it through the mouth of the horse to make them obey, we can turn the whole animal, oh, this tongue is powerful, or take a ship as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by a strong wind, they are steered by a small rudder, wherever the pilot wants it to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes a great boast. Consider what great force it sets on fire by a small spark. Then he tells us the danger of the tongue. He tells us in James 3:6, the tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. Remember, we're talking about the body now. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire. It itself sets the fire by hell. This little bitty thing can break people, can hurt people, can destroy people. And you see, reason being, because there's a difficulty to the tongue. In James 3:7-21, it says, all kind of animals, birds, reptiles, sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. Oh, we bad. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. And with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings. Let me go back over that again. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, but with it we curse human beings, who is made in God's likeness. See, he didn't discriminate. He didn't say if you were white, black, male, or female, boy, or girl. He created us in his image. Now, what we do with that is another story. Oh, but we curse each other instead of elevating, motivating, and encouraging each other. He said, out of the same mouth come praise and curse. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or can a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. In Proverbs 18:21, it tells us, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. We're supposed to bear good fruit, fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, goodness, gentleness, kindness, faithfulness, patience, and self-control. But we're talking here that we can't control ourselves because of the power of the tongue. But, oh, God got greater things for us. Hallelujah. And Matthew 15:11 says, what goes into someone does not defile them, but what comes out of their mouth, that is what defiles. So what you have in you going to come out of you. So you got to make sure that you take in through that ear gate and what you allow your eyes to see, because it will reside itself in the midst of your heart. And what's in your heart will come out of the heart. So now this week, we're going to look at more of the anatomy from the new creation. Here's the part so important that it's spoken about 826 times. This part of the spiritual anatomy is where most of God's examination occurs. Let's see from the word of God if this statement I'm making bears truth. See, in Ezekiel 36:26, it says, I will give you a new heart, a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. See, the old man had the heart of stone, like Pharaoh. The new man will get a heart of flesh. And in Psalms 51:10, create in me a clean heart and renew the right spirit within us. God is putting a new spirit in us, you see. And then in Jeremiah 17:10, I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind to give every man according to his way, according to the fruits of his deed. Talking about them fruits. Talking about testing the mind. But he's looking into the heart. Thus, we must, in Proverbs 4:23, keep a heart of all villages, for from it flows a spring of life. It flows a spring of life. And then Psalms 34:18 says, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and save the crushing spirit. As we see the people who are homeless, we see the people who are disfranchised, we see the people who are taking their lives, their spirit has been broken. Why? Because of the power of the tongue. The power of the tongue has crushed their spirit and impact their heart. But see, in Luke 12:33-34, it says, sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourself with money bags that do not grow old, with the treasures in the heaven that does not fail, where no thief approach, no moth destroy. Where the treasures here, there will be your heart also. Hello. There will be your heart also. Proverbs 21:2, it says, a person may think their own ways are right, but the Lord weighs the heart. The Lord weighs the heart. The Lord weighs the heart. What's in a man comes out of a man. If you have got anger in you, it will come out. If you have envy in you, it will come out. If you got jealousy in you, it will come out. If you got ill will in you, it will come out. You will rejoice in evil, as we saw the people last week before me. It will come out. It won't be patient. It won't be kind. It won't attempt to preserve or protect. It won't create hope. It won't build trust. Because what's in a man come out of a man. But oh, if you got God's love, if you got God's love in you, then all that will be opposite. Now we can see that if there's 826 verses regarding the heart, we can't just fly by this, because it's evident that the heart is no joke. We know this just from our physical heart, that if it stops, life ceases. But for the sake of information about the heart, let me lay out a few statistical facts regarding the physical heart. Just want you to get a little need to know. The average heart is the size of a fist in an adult. Your heart will beat 115,000 times each day. Your heart pumps 2,000 gallons of blood every day. The heart can continue to pump even after it is disconnected from the body. Most heart attacks happen on Monday. Christmas Day is the most common day of the year the heart attacks happen. A woman's heart beats slightly faster than a man. The human heart is less than a pound. However, a man's heart on the average is 2 ounces heavier than a woman's heart. And here's one that's really heavy. It is possible to have a broken heart. They call it the broken heart syndrome, and can have similar symptoms as a heart attack. The difference is a heart attack is from a heart disease, and a broken heart syndrome, hello, is caused by the rush of stress hormones from an emotional and physical stressing event. Divorce, a child leaving their family and being disfranchised, anger, verbal abuse, disrespect, physical abuse, cyberbullying, all these things that are happening, creating them stress hormones that causes emotional and physical stress that can bring about the broken heart syndrome. Bring about the broken heart syndrome. But it's a funny thing, because it says that laughter is good for your heart. It reduces the stress and gives a boost to your immunity system. So on one end, laughter is refreshing to the bone, but also to the heart. But on the other end, these same stress hormones can destroy the heart, the crushed spirit. So we can see that the heart has many physical facets to it that is vital for our survival physically, emotionally, spiritually. But we can also see that the heart has some major aspects from God's perspective. Couldn't name them all today. However, let's take a moment to merge the physical and spiritual together. We see in Luke 12, 33-34, that from where the heart is, there will your heart be also. This tells us that wherever, whoever, and whatever we place our importance to, this is where our heart will be also. And as we begin spiritually mature in Christ, we begin to put our heart motives and desires in perspective, or at least we should. The way we thought as a child spiritually begins to change. We begin to learn the value of our heart and we protect it. Why? Because the Word of God tells us in the New Living Translation in Proverbs 23, it says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Oh, so many people's lives have been taken off course because of the heart. Taken off course. A whole life change. You know, the people you would see, and you say, oh, they was most likely to succeed in high school. She was going to be a beauty queen. She was going to be successful. He was going to be president. He was going to be the next football guy. And with a broken heart that caused him or her to get discouraged, caused him or her to lose hope, caused him or her to not trust. So instead of taking the road that would take him to the land of the promised land, if you will, they take the road. They begin to take on the drugs, the alcohol. They begin to take on the lifestyle that seemingly looks prosperous, but in the end is destructive, because that's the illusion that he creates in our mind. Remember, these parts to the body are essential because they will govern and create how we determine the course of our life. And for most of us, we have experienced disappointment that impact our lives and devastated our hearts. Where the idea of the broken heart syndrome could possibly happen to any one of us. Maybe not unto death, which could happen, but emotionally, psychologically, and spiritually, we can have that kind of death occur. As we see in the Word, our heart can be broken. But as we mature more in the new creation, we can be assured that the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and save the crushing spirit. Now that should be shouting grounds right there. I would tell you, if you don't remember anything else I said, if you decide not to look into the archives to pick up what I'm saying, this scripture in Psalms 34:18 should give anyone hope for the future and peace that passes all understanding and unspeakable joy, because God save the crushed spirit. So next week, we will view the last spiritual part of the spiritual anatomy and move a brand new you and me, where we will begin to look at how we can really grow in God, what we can look forward to. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. When we begin to get that new longing, that new sense of peace, that new fulfillment, that new assurance that will allow us to have that passion in Christ. Because in him, the truth will set us free. Hallelujah, Lord. So I move into the next part, which is the spirit of a soldier. The purpose-driven life merged in love. Last week, I talked about the purpose-driven life and what it looked like from how Jesus set the model for us. And I pointed out some key aspects. As Jesus, as a child, he was on a mission to fulfill his father's business. He allowed himself to be tempted to every sin known to man in order to show us that he understood our challenges. He went back to where he was raised to show them he did not forget, and he was coming back to save them. But they did not receive him. But it did not stop his purpose. He developed a relationship discipleship, which was about the relation and not just training people, preparing people, but building a loving relationship with his disciples. And I want to stop here for a minute. You see, too many people are walking around here lonely. It's just one thing to be alone. I live alone. But when you're lonely, that impacts that spirit. It hurts that spirit. It makes people become like Peter, impetuous and impulsive, to do things that they probably out of their character, to do things that they probably would look back and regret, to do things that they would have this survival guilt because they're lonely. the spirit has been crushed. And even though it's a beautiful thing that we know God and that we love the Lord and that we praise the Lord and that we know God will never leave us or forsake us, nobody should feel lonely. You know why I know this? Because the Word said when he was creating us in his image, he said, it's not good for man to be alone. Check this out. God wasn't alone either. God wasn't lonely. Why? Because he had God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus. And Jesus was not alone either. Jesus had 12 disciples. And even though one would fall short and deceive him, and one would deny him, he still, for 3 years, had 12 disciples. See, nobody should have to walk alone. Jesus was alone in the wilderness. John the Baptist was alone in the wilderness. But when he didn't want to be lonely, they would come out. See, nobody should have to be alone. Nobody should have to walk this journey alone. It's not good for us to be that way. So therefore, we should have to be alone where we feel lonely. So it is important, as I talked about earlier, about iron sharpening iron. See, we have to have a purpose-driven life in love. See, because love will not leave somebody feeling lonely. It will protect them. It will preserve them. It will give someone hope. It would build trust. Because love won't let you be lonely. See, that's love. And if God tells us that this is the commandment we should follow, love thy neighbor as thyself. One who loves himself, if they're healthy in mind and spirit and emotion, can love someone else. And they can show that love that will help, again, as I said, elevate, motivate, encourage one to move into their fullest potential to be the best they can be. For Jesus made it a point when he went out to spread the good news to the poor, we also talk about the poor in spirit. See, he went to proclaim the freedom for the prisoner and gave them sight to the blind. Then he set the oppressed free. There are people who are oppressed, depressed, because they are alone. Lone, but lonely in spirit. Crushed in spirit. Brokenhearted. And again, it causes us to open the gates to Satan to get into our head and create images or imagination, if you will, that create these images that causes us to step out of the realm of God. See, the prodigal son thought with his imagination that he would go out into the world and he would be in control. As I said earlier about that toddler phase, I can do this, I can handle this. And as that young adult phase, I can do this, I can handle this. And he gets out there, and then one day, after all the illusions of what he thought life would give from the world perspective, he found himself in the pigsty, alone. Lonely. And it caused him to change his perspective on life to the point that he would even circumvent his inheritance and say, I'm going back as a servant because I know that my father's servant is living better than this. Nobody should be lonely. But like that prodigal son's father, he who is God himself, he opened his arms up to receive his son because he now knew that his son was set free. He now knew that his son understood. He now knew what love really was. It was home in his father's arms. Nobody should have to live to be lonely with a crushed spirit. But we got hope. Because God is there to proclaim the good news to us. You see, in Luke 4:18, it tells us, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim the freedom for the prisoner. Some people are prisoners in their mind. As I used to say this as a kid, and I even know I was saying this with any kind of wisdom, but I used to say when they used to teach us about slavery and all these things, I said, well, I ain't seen nothing that's much different because right now we may not have chains on our legs, but we got it on our mind. That's why we get caught up in all these negativities that Satan can get us into. We get all off the beaten path, addiction, abuse, disrespect, disregard, negligence, poor leadership. We've seen this now. I don't usually get into this. I personally don't have no ills against Trump. I don't even know the man. What I do look at is not the man, but the issue. And the issue is he had a role to play, and unfortunately, because his imagination that Satan got into his head has misled him down the road to not be the leader that he was called to be. This represents something like Saul, who once was a chosen man, and then he allowed his imagination of pride, self-seeking behavior, boastful attitude, proud, get in the way. See, but God doesn't want that to be. He wants us to be set free. He wants us to also get free from the blindness of the illusion of the covers that Satan creates for us so we can be set free. Why? Because he who we set free is free indeed. And then we move away from that self-seeking attitude to be like Christ, who came to serve and not be served. But what's really important is that if we follow Matthew 26:36-4, when Jesus replied and said, "Love the Lord with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind." This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it: love thy neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophet hangs on these two commandments. And I believe I asked everyone that we should examine it closely in our secret place to ask God to take over and allow the Holy Spirit to lead us as we move through the journey with purpose, focus, commitment, and a disciplined mindset of Christ that is founded on love. Why am I bringing it up? Because whatever our purpose or our assignment is in life, it should be founded on love, because the Word tells us this. And love is so important that if you don't do it, let me tell you what the scripture tell you. If you speak in tongues and of men or angels, but do not have love, I am a resounding gong and a clinging cymbal. And if I have gifts of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. I am nothing. I am nothing. It may say on a show called Hogan, say, nothing. I mean nothing. Now that's deep. He didn't say, "Well, you're still cool, dude. You know, you can go and do your thing. It's all good." No, he said, "I am nothing. I am nothing." He has now just shot down your character. He has shot down your illusion. The Word has shot it down, because he's telling you, if you don't do it in love, it don't mean nothing. And he says, "If I give you all the possessed, if I give all the possessed to the poor, oh, you do your good deeds. You do your good deeds. Oh, we have all these churches now that they're giving food away, and they're blessing people, and we open all these kind of programs, and every good cause, somebody is tapping into it. But if it's out of, not in the will of God and exercised through love, it don't mean nothing." He said you can give over your body to hardship, that you may boast. Do not have love, you have gained nothing. You know why I know that's a fact? Because why love is so important? Because God loved us first before we loved him. God loved us so much that he would say, send his son from the right hand of him to come to this earth and be rejected, be spit on, be beaten, be crushed, be disregarded by people he knew and people he didn't know. And all he did was gave good to others. All he did was try to show love. But nothing changed his purpose. He had a purpose-driven life that was founded on love. And I told my church family, you may get sick of me quoting those scriptures. You may get sick of me talking about love. But I can tell you with authority, and I can leave here today, but I will stand on this fact that love is the key. If we operated from the principles that is presented through Paul, you know, they didn't break love down in the Old Testament. But Paul was given this because Paul was one who did not display love, even though he thought he had good intentions and he thought he had a purpose-driven life. It wasn't founded on love. But oh, when Christ came upon him and laid that love on him, there was a new Paul. There was a new creation. There was a transformation that became now the Paul that will change a good portion of the Bible that be written. It would change the way the Old Testament presented to the new, because Christ worked through him with love. And now he was all about that. So it's important that we recognize the importance of love. And out of 2 Corinthians 5:10, as I wrap it up, for we must all appear and be revealed as we are before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive his pay according to what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. Considering what his purpose and motive had been and what he had achieved, been busy with, giving himself and his attention to accomplish. But you see, the quote from the missionary C.T. Studd was founded on this: only one life till soon be passed, for only what done for Christ will last. Thus, as we walk in love spiritually to our spiritual maturity in Christ as his new creation, let us all that we do, all that we be, all that we think, be about walking in the love of God. He showed us love. He commanded us to love. And let our purpose-driven life be all centered around love. Because, again, love is the key. Everything else we do, if it ain't got that foundation. So this week, we need to, again, examine our heart. Does, you got the scripture, 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. Check yourself on that, because that's what I'm doing every day. Every day. I quote it every day. Because I want each one of those words, and we use them freely, jealousy, envy. We say these words so loosely. But when you go and go, if you don't do nothing but go in the dictionary or go into Wikipedia, whatever you want to do to get the depth meaning. Remember he said you want to get the deep things of Christ. Once we go into the depthness of understanding what love is about, it will transform us. And you know why? Because that's why Jesus came. That we be transformed by the renewing of our mind, putting the world behind us and putting Christ before us. So again, as I close out, I would ask that anyone who is not saved, remember that Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart that he raised from the dead and that thou can be saved. And you confess with your mouth and that you know that you're willing to put the old past life behind you and put Christ before you. Your God is forgiving you for your sins. For see, all things have passed away and all things become new in Jesus Christ. Amen. And don't forget to check out Kingdom Builder Development Institute, kingdombuilderplaza@gmail.com. Contact us at 313-583-9739. And don't forget to sow into the ministry, www.giverfi.com, which is GIVELIFY.com. Again, it's been an honor. As I always say, pray for me, I pray for you, and let us watch and see what God will do. God bless you. We'll see you next week.